Wait.
Don't do that.
You said I can do whatever voice that I'm comfortable with. So, embrace what comes, David.
Oh, you're an idiot. Oh, go on, you start.
No, you start.
Okay. Remember when we had Idle War in episode 1?
I remember.
The fuck? Do you remember Baleful Creek? Couldn't you Skype?
I remember.
Do you remember when we met Ronnie Huxford? Oh, that was fantastic. Oh, I remember.
Ronnie, I remember.
Do you remember when we gave Matthew Jones his birthday present and he lost it?
Yeah, I remember. Couldn't stand up his phone when he was talking to us, apparently. Do you remember that?
No, I remember. Do you remember? Oh, shit. Do you remember it being Forest Black in the Fiesta?
I remember the lunchbox.
Everybody.
Hey everybody!
I am Naomi. I am one of the hosts.
I am David. I am all of the hosts. And more.
You are my assistant.
Assistant? Can I be executive assistant?
No.
Junior vice president?
No.
Fuck you then.
You don't wear a suit.
That is true. Nor do you though.
I don't need to.
You're in charge.
I'm in charge.
Ah, fine. Fine. It's gonna be like that then.
It's exactly. Apparently, this is exactly how it's gonna be.
Don't start that again. Because apparently we do a podcast apparently every week apparently and apparently it's, you know, the worst thing in the world.
Apparently we do a podcast and apparently it's really good and apparently Naomi's in charge.
And apparently
David is a fool and everybody knows and apparently that's why everyone listens. And apparently this is my podcast. Apparently.
You're taking over now. You're fully in charge. You're taking over.
Yep, for this episode, I'm taking charge.
Oh, sweet. Crack on. Anyway.
Fool.
How are you? You good? Good? Yep. You good? Oh. I don't know what that was.
I'm a good.
Okay, are you good? I'm good? All of it.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Another podcast. Here we are.
Episode 14.
You keep coming back every week for more.
What a dickhead. I love it. I'm addicted to it. This is my cocaine. So we're in a hyper mood this week, apparently.
You know what did it?
What's that? Haribo?
Apparently it's the Haribo.
Sugar is bad for you. Who knew?
Sugar is good.
Sugar is good.
Anyway.
Should we get into it? Hey, everybody.
Why are you saying hello again?
Because I want to, you know, get back into it. Like, you know,
right.
that's what we do.
So apparently we're saying hello again.
Hello again. If you didn't see us about 3 minutes ago, we're down in front podcast, apparently. Oh, you fool, yo.
And apparently we're not the biggest podcast on the air.
What?
Yeah. Say what?
Who the fuck said that? Who is then? I'm going to find this biggest podcast on the air and hunt
them
down.
We're going to take them down.
Going to take them down. One new viewer at a time. Yeah. We're growing. We're getting better.
We're definitely growing. It's all the Haribo each week.
Ah, see what you did there.
Apparently, Haribo produces chub. Who knew?
Chub. Delta from podcast, now with extra layers of chub. Should we get into some news?
Let's get into some news.
Not just news, though. Exciting news on the recording and album-y front.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, if none of that happened, you have nothing really to play or talk about.
I'd find something.
Oh, yeah, we find something. One day we're going to have a special episode where there's not going to be any music, and we're just going to dick around and see who tunes in. 3rd of April, Beth Blade and the Beautiful Disasters released their new album, Bad Habit. We've heard it, we reviewed it.
We reviewed it a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Back in January, I think it was.
Yeah, cracking album.
It's a great album. You can read that review at The Gig Gals. It's there somewhere. We might repost it. Why not?
I think if you like that really old rock and roll sound, all the classics kind of influences in there, but you want that brought up to date a little bit?
Yeah, it's...
You want something gritty.
Yes, gritty. That's a good word for it. But there's a lot of Kiss influences in there, Hailstorm. You said to me you heard Pretty Reckless in there as well. So they kind of wear their influences a little bit on this. Sleeve and you can hear their influences, but they kind of bring their own Beth Blade and the Beautiful Disaster sound to it, and it's great. It's a good album.
Yeah, I really like it.
And they're getting a ton of good reviews, and they've recently been featured in Classic Rock magazine as well, which they were very excited about.
Yeah,
so it's garnering positive reviews all over the shop. Good for them.
We like that.
Yeah, and we like them too.
And we like them. And if you like them, they'll be starting their tour soon from April the 14th.
In Cardiff. And check out next week's episode, because we've got an interview with Miss Beth Blade herself.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Lovely girl.
Yeah.
So tune in next week for that. Spoilers.
So that's cool. Other news.
Mm-hmm.
The awesome, hard-rocking Piston are back in the studio recording for the first time since 2014.
That is a ridiculously long time, in my opinion.
It is.
It is crazy. I think it's the first stuff that's going to feature Rob. I say the new singer. He's been with them seems like a while now. But it's the first stuff on tape with Rob.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for them.
I'm excited about that.
Exciting for Rob as well. Because he can actually sell merch that he's on.
Yeah. And we can get hold of music and listen to the singer that we know and love when we go see them live. So,
well, that's it. I've only ever seen Piston with Rob singing. I like the old guy. I think, the stuff I've heard recorded is great, but Piston with Rob is what I know and what I love, and if I can get more Piston recorded, happy days. So I'm really excited when they posted that they were in a studio.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. And other people who are in a studio at the moment, we've got Dead Man's Whiskey, obviously in Wales, recording with Ramesh at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're down in Longwave, I think. Yeah, that's where he's based. I'm assuming they're there. That's great for them. They've got some Instagram videos up, or Facebook videos, whatever, and they're posting clips.
And some of that is sounding tasty.
Oh, it's good, isn't it? It's really good, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I love those guys. They're great, and they're great musicians as well, and lots of fucking exciting stuff to come.
There is.
We're getting spoiled here.
We are. Should I spoil you some more?
Oh, go on then.
Because apparently... Stone Kings have been in the studio as well, recording some new stuff.
Well, we knew when we interviewed them, they were jamming stuff out, and they were kind of recording bits and pieces here and there, but they seem to be going full into it now, which is good. I heard a clip of a song the other day. I liked it.
But that's another band, like Piston, that yet again it's going to be good to get some recorded stuff with the new vocalist.
That's right,
place.
Of course, yeah, because From Creation to Devastation, which we also reviewed, check it out. That is
Greg.
The previous vocalist. So it'd be nice to have Matt on stuff.
Yeah, it'd be great to get Matt on some recorded stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. Rammstein, 35 songs written apparently for a new album.
Yep.
Obviously they're not going to release all 35 because that would be silly, but fuck it, you never know. They've got a live DVD out as well. That looks really cool. You've seen them live. I haven't. I want to see them. They look like they put on an absolute fucking show. Show of a show.
Incredible showman, incredible music. You will never ever forget your Rammstein gigs.
I bet. Because I like the fact that is it Till? He's like a fully licensed or fully qualified pyrotechnic guy, which obviously has all the fire and stuff on stage, which that's kind of cool. He actually took the license to be able to do that stuff.
I'm not surprised though, because they're not playing with little things here. I mean, they have things strapped to their face that they blow out. And like I say, when I first started seeing them, it was in the smaller venues. Obviously, they play the bigger ones now. And when he blows that flame across the top of your head, you feel that.
Jesus.
It's incredible. And they crowd surf in rubber dinghies.
Yeah, I love
like
that.
How awesome is that? I need to go in that. Do you reckon I'd be able to take a rubber dinghy to the next gig?
We'll try it. Apparently, someone's getting kicked out.
Apparently.
Papa Roach, new album, Crooked Teeth, out on May the 19th. They've released two songs from that, Born for Greatness and Periscope, featuring Skylar Grey.
Cannot wait.
Don't know who that is.
Every album that Papa Roach bring out is amazing.
Well, have you not heard the new songs yet?
I have.
Are they good?
They are really, really good.
Oh, cool.
I actually really liked them.
Because I remember saying to you when Linkin Park came out, and you were like, shit. And then we said about Papa Roach, and you were like, they can bring out anything and it'd be amazing. And I put to you, well, what if they released something like Linkin Park? And you were like, whatever.
They would never release anything like Linkin Park.
When I listen to these two songs now, I'm not going to hear Linkin Park's Heavy in Papa Roach form. No. And then I don't have to shout at you about being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Okay. Describe them to me. They're rocking? They're good songs?
Absolutely rocking, like they always do. They're just great. Everything they do is amazing. I'm really not the best person to give you advice on Papa Roach because I do not look at it clearly.
Well, clearly not, no. Blinded by something.
I love them. I've loved them for a long time.
That's fine. I will pass judgment and I'll get back to you next week.
Can't wait.
Mm-mm.
What was that face?
I was doing an impression of you.
We so need to record this live so people can watch what you do and what I have to put up with.
Can you imagine? I think if we did a video one, it'd just be me and you just sat really still, no moving, going, how are you? Yes, I'm good, thank you.
I don't think that's possible with
and
me.
Shift the eyes.
I don't think that's possible.
I know. We'd be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do it one day? Let's do it one day.
Who are you talking to?
I don't know.
Someone must listen.
Anybody out there? Hello? Hello?
Apparently, David's lost it. Apparently.
Barely.
Do you know what I'm really looking forward to with this episode? Listening back and counting how many times I managed to apparently say apparently.
This is all off the back of you seeing that video with that little kid going, and apparently I'm on the news, and apparently I've never been on live TV before, and apparently, that's really old. How have you only just seen it?
I know, but it amuses me.
It amuses me.
So I'm going to keep doing this until I get bored of it. Apparently.
Apparently. I can imagine like halfway through the episode, you just cut. Why are you saying apparently anymore? Yeah, I got bored of it.
Yeah, we'll just stop as soon as it started.
Yeah.
So apparently, we're a podcast.
Apparently.
And apparently, we like to do the occasional interview.
But that's not true, because apparently I really hate doing interviews because I get so nervous beforehand, because we get to meet such superstars, like Marco Mendoza.
You do actually get really nervous before all interviews.
I do. It's really weird. I don't know. I don't know why.
I have to power chat you to get you to calm down. They're just normal people, David. You don't need to get starstruck.
At the end of the day, they all shit and wipe their ass the same as you. Except they probably don't do handstands while they do it.
Anyway, I hope that one day you can meet Tristan without getting all flustered.
Oh, we chatted to him on the phone the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
He recorded that little drop for us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Listen to Donna Friend because they're fucking legends.
It's about time that Wrinkle Ronnie did the same, I think.
Yeah, Ronnie, when are you going to record a little shout-out to your buddies over here, eh?
Yeah, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
What are you doing? Anyone would think you're out gigging and stuff.
Yeah, what's this? All of a sudden, you got gigs? You don't gig. You're those damn crows. Those damn crows never gig.
He's hanging out with superstars now. Kyle Gass.
Oh, look at him. He's blowing us off for Kyle Gass. Think you're a superstar now, Ronnie, because you're going to England to do gigs? Whatever. You get back to Bridgend, son.
He's made it abroad.
I imagine him now with a little handkerchief on his head.
No, on one of those sticks where they got the red handkerchief with white spots on. So he's like,
what, like a hobo? I think Ronnie's a hobo. Yeah, he hasn't got time for us anymore, Ronnie, with his fancy gigging and stuff.
Okay, he doesn't have a handkerchief. He's just got a stick with some crows on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, those damn crows out on the road.
That is great. Flying.
Flying.
Probably. Or just driving.
Flapsing.
That's an image I didn't need to have in my head. Those damn crows on the road with their flaps out. So, interview time. Flapping their way to Birmingham.
Apparently, David likes going too far.
Yes, right. Apparently.
Shall we have an interview?
Okay, what would you like to ask me?
Shall it be with a noisy, surfy, loud, fuzzy, punky band based between London and Luton?
I mean, where would you find such a band?
On Down the Front Podcast.
What?
We interviewed a band called Subset.
Featuring our friend and yours, Roman. And that's who we interviewed. Shall we play it?
Let's play it.
Do it.
We're here with Roman from a London-based band called Subset. Hey, Roman, how are you doing?
Hello, Naomi. Hello, Down the Front. How are you guys?
We're very good, thank you. For our listeners who may not have heard of Subset, can you give us like a little brief overview of how you guys formed and how you got to today?
Subset is a loud rock band who's been created in 2009 in London and Luton, and we've been going on for about 6 years. We've released 3 albums, we've done 6 tours, played over 220 shows, and we've released a double album last year in 2016, and we're going to release something new in 2017.
That's exciting.
Mm.
Brilliant.
The new album then, is that all written and recorded then and ready to go, is it?
It's in progress, so okay. We are expecting to finish that by August.
And how would you describe your music? What kind of genres would you say you guys fit into?
It's non-serious, loud, fuzzy, noisy, trying to make people happy and diverting their attention from the reality difficulties in their lives. And it's very true, it's very genuine, it's passionate. It comes from right at the center of all of us. And it's a very well orchestrated big joke.
As long as you guys have fun.
Well, that's it, yeah.
We always do.
And when it comes to songwriting and things, is that something that you do or is it something the whole band does?
The whole band does it. So usually it's Alex, our guitarist, coming up with a bass line. Then he sends it to me. Then I come up with the vocals. And then I start to construct the structure of the song around. And then we pass that on to our drummer, Oliver, who tries to make sure that the rhythm, the tempo, the speed, the attacks are all as impactful as possible. And then we pass it on to our bassist, Peter, who makes sure that the bass lines is even more creative and stylish and hooking. And then I have a last look at the final results. And I work with our producer to make sure that it sounds loud, silly, fun, entertaining. That's the plan.
So it sounds like a real collaborative effort whilst also retaining that kind of individuality then. So you kind of go off into your own little studios, I guess, then and add your own touches to the songs. That's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and it's important to have a plan where all of us write as opposed to one person coming up with everything. I guess at the beginning of when we writed songs, it was very much, you know, one person coming up with pretty much everything. And that didn't become very, very fruitful for us. And as a musician myself, I draw a huge amount of influences and inspiration coming from other people's ideas. So I need to be sitting on a pile of, you know, loads of creative outputs coming from everybody. And then I try to connect all those things and I try to make sure that it makes sense. But we are, at Subset, we never had a problem of writing songs. We've always had a problem of trying to hold our horses back and trying to limit ourselves a little bit. So, you know, last year when we released a double album, nobody does that anymore. It's the most stupid commercial you could think of doing. And I was on the phone with Alex yesterday and we were looking at how our new ideas for 2017 are progressing, and we've got enough materials to actually release a triple album if we wanted to.
Oh,
we're not going to do that because our label is like, look guys, are you really taking all this seriously? I mean, so yeah, for us it's a lot more about being selective about our ideas rather than scratching our heads. And when I talk to other bands and sometimes realize how they're struggling to come up with new materials, I feel sorry for them. For us, it's a lot more a question of being very selective and making sure the quality is there.
I loved your double album that you did release last year, Please Don't Feel, because it, for me, it reminded me a lot of years ago when I was back in college and things, because it's got that surfy sound to it. So it reminded me of all the kind of things I used to listen to when I was growing up. It's a fantastic album. It's got so much energy in it.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate your feedback. That's very kind of you.
So I was playing it for David this morning as well, wouldn't I? Making you listen.
Well, I hadn't heard it for ages because I remember you introduced me to Subset before and I'd heard a few songs and it was something I hadn't listened to for a while, and I forgot like how many different genres are kind of mashed into like one song almost as well. You've got that kind of aggressive punk feel to it, but it's got the kind of, not new wave, but like surfy kind of backing vocal thing going on there, and it's really high energy. And I've seen some videos of you guys playing live. Just looks like a bit of a crazy show. So you're bringing all that silliness and that fun from the record and translating that live when you do play as well.
It's really lovely, and I'm really glad that you feel that way about what we do, because, you know, on the surface we always try to make fun of each other and not taking things too seriously, but actually it is a massive, humongous, you know, house that we are constantly trying to build each time we write a song or an album. And we do crazy stuff on stage, you know, we really don't take ourselves seriously, and we try to recreate that on a recording, and it's always a challenge. But I'm really glad you're feeling about this.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's say, I think it's really interesting. It's different as well from like, you know, the regular stuff that you're kind of seeing pushed out there at the moment. I mean, for me, I just wondered, like, because it's so vast, and I guess you're all putting your kind of spin on the tracks, like, what are the main kind of influences for you guys as a band that kind of end up making that Subset sound?
There is a very strong foundation around punk things, so fast tempos, you know, pulsing bass lines, very convinced active choruses. But then we had, you know, it's a little bit like a burger, you know, then we've got a second or a third layer where we add a huge amount of I would say psychedelic stuff, where we completely lose control on everything. So, you know, on the records, we do leave the missed notes and, you know, the bends down a little bit too high and, you know, the vocals sometimes get a little bit off pace. So we don't try to keep everything metrical and under control. And then we had a third layer of... The third layer is very much about adding loads of effects and loads of synth and loads of back vocals and making it sounding very melodic and very atmospheric. And definitely retranscripting that surf wavy summery vibe that we try to maintain on the majority of what we do. And then there is a fourth layer where we do leave a lot of space for improvisation, for things that are not supposed to happen. And you've got no idea how crazy it pushes our producers, because he hates that, you know. So our producer is the kind of guy who wants a blueprint of a blueprint. He wants plans. He wants everything ready. He doesn't want us to, you know, muck around for hours. And yeah, we always, we basically wait for him to go and make himself a cup of tea, or, you know, to go to the toilets. And then in 5 minutes, we press the record button and then we start going into something completely off route. It's a lot of fun to do, but it's for people who like organized, planned, orchestrated music, they absolutely hate us.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, though, it sounds like, obviously, it works for you guys, and it does sound a bit like almost organized chaos.
That's right. because that's exactly how life is, you know.
Yeah.
You go to uni, you're hoping to get a degree, but you also get new relationships. You start having a completely different views of the world, of life, of how people come and work and interact with each other. You thought that initially you were just going to uni to get a degree. That's the same thing for our records and for our songs. You know, people expect to hear a chorus and a verse and some kind of catchy tune with some crazy guitars on it. But I'm hoping that by listening to us, they get a little bit more than this.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more layered and a lot more dense than just a simple verse, chorus, structure, riff, solo, you know, and that's it. It's certainly a lot more layered than that.
I'm glad you feel the same way.
I think I'm excited as well, because as yet I've not seen you live, and I can't wait, because you've got a gig coming up in London on the 8th of April, which we're going to be coming to, so I'm excited for that.
We're very excited too. It's at the Unicorn in Camden. We're going to play with... We actually pretty much know all the bands we're going to play on that night, so it's like playing with a group of friends. So on the bill with Subset, there is also the Rioters and the Healthy Junkies. Funny enough, we've actually played the Unicorn in the past. This is going to be the fourth time since Subset exists that we've actually played there.
Oh, wow.
And the last time we played there, we had a member of the audience who collapsed in the middle of the mosh pit. And we had the paramedics coming and stopping the show and taking care of her and taking her away. I'm not saying this to, you know, to draw some kind of glamour out of someone who was unfortunately very sick. But I'm hoping that this time the show is going to go a lot closer to normal.
I hope so. Gosh,
is it drama?
Is there always a drama at your shows?
We've had loads of them, you know, because simply because of the numbers of shows we've played. So when you play 20 shows, they more or less look the same. But when you play 220, you know, I've got a long, long list of anecdotes and stories and stuff that.
I think I've seen a video on YouTube. Didn't one of your shows get stopped? I'm not sure if it was in Paris or somewhere, but did the venue not have a license or something for music?
That's right. Yeah. We played in a very small venue in Nancy, in the eastern part of France. Yeah. And in the middle of our third song, the police turned up and basically stopped the show and asked us to come out.
Oh, wow.
We were very disappointed and very frustrated, because it was our first show in France after coming back from Germany. And I really wanted to connect with our new friends in the eastern part of France, and unfortunately they stopped us.
No.
But you know, that's things are happening. I've got a tiny little story on this. I've actually sent a text message to our management at the time when all this happened, and they completely freaked out and panicked and tried to fix the world police things remotely from London. And it you know, you have to imagine that those people in the eastern part of France, they don't really care if you call from London, if you're, you know, if you're on tour. They just deal with you. They keep you a common, you know,
yeah,
a common offender. So that tested our management patience a lot.
You guys have toured, obviously, through Europe, like we've just mentioned, because yourself from France, Alex from Italy. So I think that's a great thing as well. You get to move around a lot and go to your home countries, which is amazing.
It's very kind of you to mention this. You know, I've been living for a long time in England, so I'm not saying this to piece off any of my fellow countrymen, but I feel very strongly British myself, despite my terrible accent and my advanced taste for coffee and food. We feel and we understand very deeply the the British psyche, especially in 2017, with all those things happening in the news and at government level. And we love traveling and touring and going to France and to Italy, but you know, the headquarters are very strongly in the UK.
Yeah. So you've got the gig on the 8th of April in London. Have you got any other gigs booked coming up?
We've got a show in Brighton on the 22nd of April at the Green Door Store. We're playing there with Third Digits, The Youngest Sons and The Daytonas. And then after that, we're going to try not to play too many shows until the new release. And then for autumn and winter, we're looking at playing Scotland. And we are working on a new tour in the UK. It's a lot of hard work, and we all have, you know, families and jobs and accommodate in the middle of all this.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I feel really sorry for the other guys in the band because they have to cope with me and me coming up with ideas of releasing a triple album, and they've got that on a constant date. For them, 2017 is going to be a nerve-wracking experience.
No, it's exciting to see what you guys have got coming next. And I think for people who want to go and check your band out, you're on social media. So you're on Facebook at Subset Band. You're on Twitter at Subset Band. I think you're on Bandcamp as well, aren't you? At subset.bandcamp.com.
That's right, yeah. All our music since 2009 is available there. You've got about 60 songs. There is a potential plan for us also to release a live album, because we've managed to record a world gig with a decent quality, so we are hoping that this is going to be released in 2018. And on, you know, on our social media, we don't hide ourselves away from the audience. We constantly receive messages from our friends and fans who tell us either that they loved our last album or our last gig, or they absolutely hate what we do. And, you know, we respond and we treat everybody the same way. So if you want to talk to us, please come and yell and send long ranty emails at us.
Well, it sounds amazing. Like I say, potential, maybe, triple album coming up, maybe.
Please don't start running that story. That's not true.
It's going to be front page news, triple album.
We've got the materials. It doesn't mean we're going to release anything.
But a live album as well next year as well. Lots of gigs coming up. Exciting times to be a fan of Subset and a member of Subset, I think.
Thank you, yeah. And I, you know, I mean, this is just my views on your questions. You know, you would get some very exciting answers too from Alex, who is, you know, an extremely creative, dedicated musician and very, very hardworking. Oliver, our drummer, is incredibly talented, very young. He's got a huge amount of energy. I can promise you, you're going to see a couple of surprises on the next show that we're going to play in London next weekend. We treat performance as more like acting rather than just performance. So Oliver always has a great sense of humor, and I'm hoping that he's going to entertain our audience a lot. And Peter, our new bassist, is an incredibly articulated gentleman, and I've just received a text message today from him telling me that he's actually stuck in Greece at the moment.
Aww.
And he's supposed to be in a rehearsal in at 6 today. I don't really know how he's going to do that, but you know, let's see how he goes.
Well, so we can't wait to catch up with you guys on the 8th. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be an experience.
Cool stuff, guys. We look forward to seeing you there.
Right. Thank awesome. You for taking the time to speak to us.
No worries. And thanks for the hard work you guys are doing at down the front. Without people like you, people like us would go nowhere.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
anyway, that was Loud Beach from Subset. That's a cool little song. It's very random, isn't it? Like, the way it kind of jumps between different things.
I just love that. And like I said in the interview, it really reminds me of my days back in college and listening to surfery-based music and things like that. And so I love it.
We love it.
I love it.
So that's part of a massive double album, Please Don't Feel. So check it out. It's, well, we've given you the social media links. I'm not going to repeat them. Go back and rewind and listen to them yourself. Or write them down. It's not my fault you don't listen.
David, you're not very helpful. Apparently, David doesn't have any manners.
Oh, and apparently, people can't do things for themselves.
Apparently, David needs to learn about customer service.
Apparently, you need to shut your mouth. Do you want to know what I want to talk about now, apparently? We went to a gig. We went to a gig, right, in man's chest hair.
In a man's chest hair?
Yeah, we went to a gig in man's chest hair.
Did you weave it and make a boat from it to get there?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not? It was in a venue called Sound Control up in New Wakefield Street in Manchester. Here.
Uh-huh.
Never been there before. It's a nice little venue.
It was good.
Really cool. Mm. We saw three bands.
No, David, we didn't.
Sorry. We saw no bands. There was no gig. And this was all a lie. Good night.
Apparently, David likes to underplay. Well, what happened?
Oh, no. I was building it up. So okay. Why don't you? Okay, you give it the build up that it deserves then.
We saw three bands.
Oh, you just said it a bit louder than I did. I could tell. We saw three bands! Go on.
They were breathtakingly good.
Let's go through it. First band up.
Sertraline.
We're interrupting each other now.
Yeah. Because okay. You were going to say Sertraline.
I was, yeah. Is it Lean? So yes, I would have said Sertraline, Line, whatever. That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
Sertraline, based up north, melodic metal band,
mm-hmm.
Five-piece, Lizzie on vocals.
Yeah.
We come in, they kind of just started, I think their first song. It was like, well, can you hear some riffs? Oh, this is cool, okay, sweet. She, you know, she's singing. Beautiful tones, nice melodies. Ooh, instantly catches my ear. And next thing you know, it's just like,
fuck. Where did that come from?
She's so little as well. But it's so effortless the way she jumps from the singing to the growling.
Yeah, no coughing.
No coughing. Because it was a band I'd never heard of before, I'd never heard their music before, I didn't know what to expect. So having this like little petite girl on stage singing these, you know, melodies over this heavy music, I was like, oh, okay, I can dig this. And then when she brought out her, you know, fucking arch enemy growl, like, I was like, yes! I loved that. I thought they were great.
They were great. Really, really heavy. I like that. You know that.
Yeah. Do you?
I know.
What?
Who knew? I feel the need to keep repeating it, just so you know.
Hey, everybody. Just in case you don't know, I like heavy music. But no, they right up my street.
They were cracking.
And went and hashtag bought the merch. Two EPs. And a t-shirt.
And a shirt.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a nighty, but they didn't have them.
Random. Second band on, it was co-headline, Voodoo Blood.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Okay, I'm taking control of the microphone now.
Okay.
People need to
be
know.
Be careful.
Okay.
Okay.
I won't touch him.
Okay.
Apparently David doesn't like it when I touch the microphone.
Don't touch the microphone.
Voodoo Blood. I'm going to put my neck out here and say it, right?
Do it.
And at this gig as well. I have never in my life heard vocals as phenomenal as what I heard come out of Kimberly. She is absolutely astounding. It's effortless. It's just breathtaking. I was totally in awe of her on the stage. I've never, ever heard a voice like that with that power.
No, just watching her. When she comes on stage the first time, you're immediately captivated by her. You can't take your eyes off her. She's just this presence on stage. Obviously, she's this kind of voodoo woman character.
It's a show.
It is a show.
And
you're
that's,
right.
That, you don't normally see that a lot with the newer bands, do you? It's normally like the bigger bands, they've got the budgets and they put on a show. But to see somebody who can put a show on at the other end of the scale, that's impressive.
I mean, it's not like a major production. Let's not get it over like that. But it's
just her.
It's very theatrical.
Yeah.
And you have to imagine, because obviously she does the face paint and everything, and she's a character, and she's there on stage, and she's this, you know, voodoo woman character, and she really gets into it, and the band are amazing. I just wonder what they're going to be like when they get bigger. Like, how more theatrical is that show going to become? You know, is it going to be something like, you know, like a Kiss show where it is a big spectacular event, you know? But you're right, these smaller bands, these newer bands, they just go on stage, they sing their songs, you know, we've been whoever, you've been great, on you go to the next gig. Voodoo Blood, to me, it seems like an event.
Yeah.
You go to a Voodoo Blood performance. It's performance art, really, and the music is part and parcel of that. And they've done very well crafting their songs. They've done very well crafting their set. It's an epic set. We've reviewed the gig. It's going to be at the Gig Girls. I mentioned the dynamics. You know, it's some bands come on and they're just like, you know, rah, tear through their set. And that's what they do. And that's great. Some bands, that's all they can do. And that's fine. And what they've managed to do is they go really loud. They go really quiet. And you can just hear, you know, the air around the instruments, sometimes, you know, the drums especially, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they... And they build it back up again. And that could be all in one song, you know. And it's just phenomenal, captivating, alluring, all-encompassing performance. I think it's probably the best gig I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And she has got to be up there with one of the best vocalists I've ever seen. She is absolutely phenomenal.
You need to listen to this band. You need to buy the merch. They need to get to where they deserve to be. They need to go far. They will go far. You can't have a talent like that and keep that down. Someone is going to snap that up.
I think so. They've got a new video for their song Bleed, which has just come out on YouTube. Check that out. Their EP is Anabolic Blues. It's a cracking 4-track EP that you can just, well, we played it on loop constantly. It just never gets old. Before you know it, you're on the last track and you thought you'd already just listened to that. It goes through so quickly. It doesn't capture their live performance.
No, it really doesn't.
It certainly doesn't capture how good she is.
Great EP.
Oh no, I must say, yeah, it is a great EP.
It does not capture her.
But see them live.
Yes.
Because whatever you think of the EP, the level of greatness that is, times that by whatever, and that's
won't
their
even
live
come
performance.
Close.
Yeah. Yeah, can't say enough about that performance.
I mean, obviously we saw them last night and it's kind of like, we haven't stopped talking about it.
No.
And it's like, I can't stop thinking about it. I keep watching the videos that we took.
I was going to say, there's some videos on our YouTube channel as well, which you should check out. Obviously it doesn't fully capture because it's video, not you being there, but it'll give you an idea anyway.
Yeah, incredible find.
Mind blown.
Favourite gig of 2017.
Yeah.
And even though we're only a quarter of the way through the year, top band of 2017 for me. Nothing will come close, I know it.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, that's high praise indeed. Mm-hmm. But then how would you follow that?
There's only one way.
Well, you can't, and Matthew Jones didn't, so... no, I'm only joking. It was Twisted Illusion, of course, the co-headline. We interviewed Matt back in episode 12. We were excited about this gig, and they were great. I was really impressed. Not that I, you know, was going to go in thinking this is going to be a shower of shit. Like, I knew it was going to be good, but...
We were excited for it, though.
Yeah, we were excited, yeah. And I suppose if you're excited and you're hyped up, you can be disappointed. The only disappointment I had was Matthew Jones didn't wear his DTF Pod Superfan shirt because he lost it. It was packed away. But, you know, if you want to crush our dreams, Matthew Jones, a twist and illusion, that's fine. That's fine. But we're not here to talk about the show.
On that note, and I know we're only a quarter of the way into the year, but that was the biggest disappointment of 2017.
Oh, it'd be hard to top that disappointment, yes, I think so.
Apparently, he doesn't love us anymore.
Well, apparently, he got it packed away on an amp, but I think apparently he probably left it in the taxi after he met us, and apparently never mentioned it to us, and apparently he just liked to upset. Oh, that's fine. I got something in my heart.
Apparently, you're a drama queen.
Ah, fucking. No, cracking gig. It was first gig, I think, they played with Matt and Mark back in the band officially.
Yes.
And then they were accompanied by Jess Lawton on keys.
Yes. It was awesome.
And they played Hatred is a Virtue without the intro bit.
Oh, yeah. That was the second disappointment.
He just doesn't know when to stop, does he? With disappointments.
No. Matthew Jones.
Twisted Illusion. He never writes, he never calls, he never wears our t-shirts, he never does our shout-outs, he never sings the songs the way we want him to. What a massive disappointment you are to us, Matthew Jones.
No, he was incredible on stage.
He was, yeah.
He, like, that's the only time I've ever seen him, apart from when we went for dinner and fed him chicken. It's the only time I've seen him not be a miserable bastard. Like, he's born to play. He loves it. He's at home on the stage.
Yeah.
It's where he's meant to be. His little face lights up. His little eyes are all sparkly. He's so happy.
He is.
No, they were cracking.
I love seeing them.
Blown away by Mark's voice as well.
Yeah. I mean,
incredible.
I think Matt said that, I think his background is musical theatre or opera. He's got that kind of style, so he's got like a cracking voice anyway. So look to utilise him more on future recordings, I think.
But I mean, I love Matt's voice anyway, and the notes that guy can hit is just incredible. Mm. And listening to Mark for the first time, I absolutely love that. But my God, that was magic when they sang at the same time.
Yeah.
The blending of those two tones was just otherworldly at times.
Otherworldly. Ethereal. That's a good word.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. The way they blended was fantastic. Mm. It was almost goosebumps as well. No, it was great. I thought it was a really good show. There was a couple of sound issues for me. There was a couple of times where Matt was singing and I couldn't really hear what he was singing, which was a shame because Kimberly was clear as day. And I think Lizzie was as well for Sertraline. So it was a bit disappointing. But then I think maybe the instruments are all turned up. I don't know.
Mm. Incredible dynamic between the guys in Twisted Illusion on stage as well.
Yeah,
I thought you could see that all the communication between them all on stage was just amazing. It was they're all having fun.
They are having fun. They're like properly into it, but at the same time they're smiling and they're loving life. Yeah. Like I say, Matt just born to be on stage. He's great up there, and I thought he did a fantastic rendition of Heaven and Hell, the Sabbath song with Dio on vocals, and of course the end.
Yes.
Well, not the last song, but the penultimate song, a mashup between Stairway to Heaven and Tenacious D's tribute.
Weird, but it worked. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then joined on stage by Kimberly.
Yeah, for a rousing ending. And the solo he did at the end was awesome.
It was incredible. Watching those two work together was just, it was something else.
Goosebumps, talking about it.
Oh my God, that's weird.
Real life goosebumps.
I'll put the heating up.
I'm telling you, it was special.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And we've got a video of that performance on our YouTube channel as well. So check that out and get an idea of
what you missed.
Yeah, if you didn't go, you missed really out. I don't know what the capacity of sound control is. I don't know what they sold last night. It certainly wasn't full. Disappointed, really, for the bands, because everybody who didn't go missed out. But then at the same time, everybody that did go, that's a very special performance we got to see.
And we got cool merch.
We did get cool merch.
So we got Voodoo Blood t-shirt and EP.
Yes. That's right, you bought the EP as well.
Twisted Illusion t-shirt.
Yeah, I didn't buy a t-shirt of Twisted Illusion because I've got one coming from the pledge.
I have the drumstick.
That's right.
Play on your head. And as we said, the t-shirt and the EPs as well from Sertraline. So it was swag.
I was going to say it was a good haul last night, wasn't it? So
I left with arms full.
You did? Yeah. It
wasn't mine.
Oh, no. It was like, you distract him and I'll just swipe all this merch. Hashtag steal the merch. No, buy the merch. Support the bands. Merch.
And they're definitely bands I'm happy to support.
Fucking right. Yeah, absolutely. All three of them are quality. So watch this space for Voodoo Blood and Sertraline news on this podcast soon.
But thank you to all three bands for an incredible, incredible night.
Yeah,
we had an amazing time.
Made to feel very welcome by Robin and the guys at Sound Control as well.
Yeah.
Everybody very friendly. If you ever get a chance to go to a gig at Sound Control, recommend it.
Yeah.
It's a lovely venue, lovely
great
people.
Place.
And if they're putting on gigs of that quality every week or every night, then definitely get down there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's do it. More trips to Manchester.
All right, cool. Let's do it. We have to hang out with Matthew Jones though.
All right.
Okay. And basically rag on him for disappointing us.
Yes.
Okay. It's a deal.
High five. So, I don't think he's a total disappointment to us.
He has his moments, though, to be fair.
He does. But, at the moment, he's not all disappointment.
Okay, he's not all bad, I guess.
No. Shall I tell you why?
Go on.
He has very, very kindly trusted us with a single from his forthcoming album, Insight to the Mind of a Million Faces.
And he's trusted us with the exclusive play of the single?
The exclusive play of Textbook Tyranny.
It sounds like this Matthew Jones of Twisted Illusion is a bit of a fool.
Or is he?
Is he a genius?
So we have Textbook Tyranny, which I'm really excited to share with everybody out there listening.
It is an awesome song.
It's really great. I'm so excited to hear the rest of the stuff as well on the album, if this is a taster.
I love it.
So, yeah. So shall we play it?
Probably, as we built it up, it would seem silly not to, really.
So playing exclusively on Down the Front, and for the first time for everybody to hear, here's Textbook Tyranny by Twisted Illusion.
Yeah!
Epic.
It's making me lose my voice here. It's epic. It's a prog masterpiece. Yeah, why not? Let's oversell this. It's a prog masterpiece.
I can hear so many things in that that just it conjures up different images for me. This probably sounds really silly. I've only started getting into prog since listening to Matt's music. But it's...
Oh, that'll grow his head.
I know. I'm like, and there's so much I need to catch up on. But from the bits that I do hear, it's always quite, I suppose, like a story, like a big film-like in a way. Like, I can imagine so many things with it, more so than I would with other genres of music.
Yeah, I mean, prog is kind of seen as like a really overblown, pretentious genre, and there's a lot of concept albums and a lot of stories and stuff throughout albums, so it does have that kind of overblown feel. And when I first heard this single, I kind of did think, like, not that I don't get it, but I don't understand it in the context of the whole album, you know? I don't know if he's writing singles as such to kind of get a commercial end to it, or if it is part of an overarching story. story. So the first time I heard it, I was kind of like, yeah, this is probably stuck in the middle of the album somewhere, and I don't really see how it fits with the rest of that. Not that it's a story, but, you know, the album. So I'm really looking forward to it when I hear the album as a whole as well. Can't wait for that.
I'm excited.
And we pledged.
We pledged.
We supported the music.
We did.
We supported new bands.
And we like Matthew Jones' songwriting abilities.
We do. I love Matthew Jones. He is a legend.
I'm not like, you just listen to that song, right? And I'm like, how does someone write something like that? There's just so much going on. Like, I'm not a songwriter, obviously, but I wouldn't know where to start with something like that. There's so many layers. It's just how...
I was going to say, it's very layered. And, you know, what is he, 25? He's a young guy, man. He's done a lot in his life musically so far. And there's a potential for more to come. I'm really excited for everything he's going to do.
We won't let him know, but I am impressed by Mr. Matthew Jones.
Well, we can say anything we want because he's not listening to this. As soon as he hears his song, he's turning it off, right?
But a cracking single, Textbook Tyranny. Look out for it, everybody. Go listen, go download it, and pay for it.
Yeah, go and pay for it. Go and buy the merch.
Yeah.
Support Matthew. You can't pledge anymore, but when his album drops, you can certainly buy t-shirts which look cool as fuck. The artwork is incredible on this album. And just buy the album and go back and buy his old album because that's really cool as well.
Yeah.
He's a talent, and I can't wait to see them play again, and I can't wait for this album to come out.
And he's a lovely young boy.
He's a lovely young man. So obviously this week it's not just been about gigs, it's not just been about bands recording stuff, it's been about bands putting stuff out in our ears for us to listen to. Yeah. So tell me a tale, Naomi. What have you been listening to this week? Let me stop you there. This is an aside, but let's throw this in. Bands Naomi hates.
I'm not going to list them out.
Aww. I'll list them out.
We should have a section.
And then
though,
I'll tag them.
We should have a section of bands that need to work harder. Only joking. I know they all work really hard. Some of them, though, they didn't even bother.
Yeah. Why'd you bother? Because you love music. If you loved music, you'd leave it alone to people that could do it. So what have you listening to this week? Fucking Yeah, I can be a bitch.
I was about to go, apparently David's a bitch.
Apparently that's not old news.
I can't work with this. You're not professional.
What?
So.
What have you been listening to? Go on. Let's reel this back in.
Okay.
Go.
Voodoo Blood, Anabolic Blues.
Well, we've already said most of what we can say about it, but yeah, what an EP. It's a great EP.
What an EP.
Cracking voice, cracking playing, cracking songs as well.
Can we push them into like opening a Pledge Music or something so we can get money together so that they have to record more now?
Yes, let's do it.
Awesome.
Can you record every time you sing in the shower, every time you're walking down the street, sing? Anytime Kimberly is singing, she needs to have a recorder on her, and then just release that. People will buy it. You'll buy it.
I'd buy it. You buy it.
Yeah, why not? This is me singing in the shower.
I don't know why. Should I tell you the song that just popped into my head when you said that?
Go on.
Jason and Kylie, especially for you. What the
How the fuck did that get in your head when I just said about Kimberly singing in the shower?
I don't know. You should be answering that, David.
Well, it didn't pop into my head, so... What? Okay, I'll answer it for you. Why did that pop into your head? Because you're a freak.
Yeah, weird things pop into my head. Apparently.
Apparently. Especially voodoo blood. Nice.
Apparently I found you funny.
Apparently, because I am hilarious. We've also been listening to The Fallen State this week, a new EP, The View from Ruin.
Yeah, it's great.
It is great. They've got a very Americanized sound to them, to the point where I thought they were American.
Yeah.
I know, you know, bands sound like other bands, and there's UK bands that sound like American bands because that's who they're influenced by, but they just sound American.
Mm.
If that makes any sense. The production techniques that are used, everything about the sound is just American sound.
They've been a great band. They've already done toured with big bands and stuff.
Yeah, they toured with Blackstone Cherry, I think, haven't they?
Yeah, so, you know, people know them. So, yeah.
So they're getting more recognition and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so there's five EPs out there for you to go choose from. So
yeah, they've only been going for, like, well, I think it's their fourth year in existence or something, so that's quite good output.
Mm, check them out.
Check them out.
Also, I've been listening to Search Relief. Do you know them?
Yeah, I've come across them, yes. Yeah. Yes, they were playing a gig. She was singing, you know, and that really piqued my interest. So, yeah, they've got a new EP just released about a month ago now, Guilty.
Yep.
Five tracks. We heard all five live in their seven-song set at Sound Control, all the S's. I've been listening to a few albums this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to the new Warbringer album.
Who?
Yeah, I forgot they existed as well. They're a metal band, like a heavy, real heavy metal band. It's just quite an aggressive album. Kind of forgot they existed, saw it was new. I was like, ooh, I haven't listened to these guys for ages. It's called Woe to the Vanquished, and it's, you know, it's what you expect from a band called Warbringer. It's heavy, very thrashy, screamy. It was good. I enjoyed it. I listened to the new Mastodon album as well, Emperor of Sand.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great album. I think it's going to be one of those, a bit like Crack the Sky, where there's very intricate, very layered, very dense, and you get something out of it each time you listen to it. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. I totally recommend that as well. New album from The Texas Flood, Overworked and Underpaid.
I love this.
Great album.
Been long waited for. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, because you pledged, so you had it like a day before it came out.
Yes.
Officially.
So yeah, I was straight onto it that night.
Yeah.
And to listen to that. Yeah, cracking album. Obviously, still retains their sound, but it's obviously new songs that are fresh and it's exciting to then go through and listen to them. But there's some really cracking ones on there that are really, really catchy.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It is. Very good blues rock album.
Yeah.
Worth checking out. They played a gig at Sin City in Swansea with our boys, Those Damn Crows, in support. By all accounts, went down very well. So, good things happening for the Texas Flood.
Awesome. Well deserved.
Yeah, I think so.
Also, that awesome band that are Fragile Things brought out a new single called Angry.
Yes, awesome. Got a lyric video out for it, haven't they? Yeah, I've watched that. It's great.
Sounds really great, doesn't it?
I like the... what was that other song they released that you were playing constantly?
Broken Sun.
Broken Sun, that's it. I love that.
Love it.
But Angry is definitely up there as a favourite of mine, of theirs.
Yes.
I thought it was really good. Inglorious as well. I've got another new single coming out. They seem to be releasing singles left, right and centre for their new album.
I know. Is that normal?
It's becoming the norm, I think.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. Most bands would release like a single, maybe another single, then go use the album, and then another single off that. But they're putting everything out. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get another single or two before the album's released as well. This one is called Making Me Pay. It's a slow song. It's rocking. It's got some, you know, the heavy instruments going on, but it's very... very slow paced.
For me, it sounded like it was a song that had been geared up just to showcase Nathan's vocals.
Yeah.
Like the music had really been played down and everything was quite subtle just to allow that voice to come through. And I don't think his voice needs that, because
no.
You could have the loudest music and he is it power pipes.
Hashtag power pipes.
Hashtag power pipes. Enough to carry it through whatever music's there. So it sounded to my ears, to get me right, it's a great song, but it sounded to my ears a little bit wrong because
I think I know what you mean. It is definitely a showcase for his vocals. I haven't listened to the song for a few days now, but from memory I don't recall anything spectacular happening musically in it. So it's very much the Nathan James show, and everybody knows he's got a great voice. He showcased that on the last two songs, the last album. He doesn't need to basically turn everybody down and just have him front and center. But then I guess when you've got a vocalist as good as Nathan, you want to, you know, show that off, I guess. So, yeah, it's a good song. I'd say it was more of a grower than the other one. I remember the last one I'd said I didn't like as much as everybody else seemed to, because it got hyped up so much, so my expectations were higher. I didn't know this was coming out, so I had no expectations. So I saw it and I was like, oh, check it out. It's all right, but musically it didn't grab me. But vocally, I think he's great. He's on top form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fair play, like. And I also listened to the rest of the North Lane album, Mesmer.
I checked that out too.
Yeah, it's a quality album, isn't it? It's really good. I think, actually, thinking about it now, I think it probably goes on a little bit too long. I think there's some songs that might drag a little bit from memory, but yeah, it's a great album. It seems to be getting a lot of great buzz everywhere as well. Good on them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, go and check it out and check out everything we've just said, because our opinion is fact.
It is.
And we're awesome.
I am.
Apparently.
apparently
I'm awesome, apparently.
Shall we have another interview?
Yes, it's interview time. It says on my watch, interview time.
It does.
It might be written in biro, but it doesn't. Nice. Who the heck did we interview?
The very first band that I ever interacted with on Twitter. That is a huge thing.
I've never heard of them. Who are a huge thing? Do they gig with TBC and further announcements to be made?
This week we spoke with Voodoo Vegas, South Coast based band, Bournemouth way.
I love their new album.
So I've listened to them for a long, long time. I love all that they do. They retain that rawness about them, which I love from live music and things. So great. So I was very excited to catch up with these guys.
Yeah. You had the, like, sampler CD
In
a plastic sleeve or something with their MySpace.
Well, yeah, because they... when they were on Twitter originally, they were messaging saying, do you want to listen to our music? And I was like, yes, please. And he was like, here's your address. And I was like, okay, is this safe on the internet? But it's music, okay. Here's my address. And yeah, they sent this CD through, which to this day I still play in my car pretty much every week. I love it.
You can come and murder me, but as long as I get some free music, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I'm down with getting murdered for free music. So now we spoke to Lawrence, lead singer of Voodoo Vegas, and this is what he had to say.
We're here with Lawrence from the amazing rock band that is Voodoo Vegas. Hi, Lawrence, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good, thank you.
Great.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you are the first band that I ever interacted with on Twitter back in 2009.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember you contacted me and asked if I wanted one of your CDs, so I had the live CD sent out to me that you had, like, a demo thing.
Oh, no. It's a shame you've got that.
Do you know what, though? I love that, and I've had that in my car for, like, 8 years now, and I still play it all the time. I love it. It's just fantastic. And so you've just gone from strength to strength over the years.
I think we're a bit better than that now.
Yeah.
That's quite old.
It is old, but I still love the ballad, the acoustic one on there, so I love that.
Oh yeah, everyone quite likes that song. We should have done more with that off the first album. We never really did. It's a shame.
No, it's a cracking song. I was making David listen to it this morning.
You make it sound like a chore. Oh my god, I was listening to it. No, it's cracking. What I liked about the sleeve though is it's still got a MySpace website on there. That's how old this CD is.
Yeah, it's proper old school.
Well, we are becoming elder statesmen of rock now.
So it's exciting to talk to you because, like I say, I've been listening to you for a very long time now and just watching how you guys have grown, and you have. You're doing amazingly well all of these years. So
it's Thanks very much.
It's fantastic. So for people who may not have heard some of your music, could you just explain to us like how the band got together and what type of music you do?
Well, as we've discussed, we've been going a while now, but I mean, Ash from the band, I started playing with him from 2006, really. Before that, we were just playing sort of gigs locally, and even after 2006, we were just playing gigs locally. Nothing really big, you know, going abroad or anything like that, just local gigs. We didn't release any albums or anything like that. Meryl joined the band in 2008, and that's sort of where we started. Not that we didn't work hard, but just putting a bit more, you know, really going for it a lot more, you know, and then we started taking ventures into Europe, and I think we recorded that live album we were talking about early 2009, and we play classic rock, you know, we're inspired by sort of Aerosmith and, you know, Guns N' Roses and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, we try and put our own spin on it. I think the second Rail album we released last year had more different sounds on it, but yeah, we've been playing ever since then, really, working really hard, always trying to do better each year. You do 1 year, try and do the next year, make it be better. That's sort of my idea for the band.
You can definitely hear the growth in your music and all of your musicianship, how it's changed over the years. And it's I was saying to David earlier when I was listening, you've got a very polished sound now, but it still has a real edge to it, which I really like. It's not overly polished, you know. It's how would you explain it, David?
Yeah, I would say polished with an edge. Like most bands that have got that kind of shine, if you like, it kind of can be a bit bland, but there's no blandness here at all. It's cracking.
It is. It's just cracking hard rock. It's just incredible music. And say, and your latest album, your Freak Show Candy Floss, is just, it's incredible. All of the tracks on there are just amazing. There's no fillers on that album at all.
Thank you very much. We wrote that album very quick. John joined the band in 2014, towards the end of 2014, and obviously we had plans to release an album, and but we'd done the Hypnotize EP early 2015, and straight after that came out, we went and started writing the songs. We wrote Freak Show Candy Floss in about 4 months.
Oh, wow.
So for us, that was quite quick for us, because normally we were notoriously slow at writing. Well, not slow, but, you know, we just gigged a lot, so we didn't spend a lot of time writing. But when John joined, we sort of wrote Freak Show Candy Floss so quick. Yeah, it's great. I'm dead proud of that record. I really like all the tracks. Lots of different things on it. Bluesy tracks, heavier tracks, you know, sort of classic rock tracks. You know, a nice ballad on there as an acoustic song. So, yeah, it sort of goes well, lots of different sort of flavours to the record. I like it.
I think that's great as well, because it keeps people's interest. You don't switch off at all, because every single track's got a different sound and it just engages you again. And I think that's a fantastic thing to do to engage your listeners.
With that record, I think, with the Jimmy Silver record, I think that was more straight rock songs. This one, I think if you listen to Freak Show Candy Floss, you can hear that it's a good record for listening to it. You know, if you listen to it 10 times, you might hear something you didn't hear on the first time you heard it. I'd like to think that anyway. It depends what other people think, but you know, I'm a big fan of Aerosmith and all their albums. Even now, the other day I was listening to Nine Lives, which came out 20 years ago last weekend, and I heard things that I hadn't heard on, you know, I still haven't heard, like percussion things. And then we tried to do that a lot with this album. I like doing sort of flavours and you know, spices or whatever it would be inside a song. That, you know, you hear the straight song, and if you listen to it more in depth, you can hear different things. So I think Freak Show Candy Floss has got, which I'm quite happy about.
And you're quite versatile when you're looking at your recent album and the different sounds that you come up with. How do you go about the writing? Is that because there's many influences coming in there from different people, or is it just one person? Or,
well, I've always got a hand with one of the members writing the track, so, you know, it depends, really, because I think, like, Backstabber, the first track from the album, I wrote that with Ash just one evening. He came round and we wrote that song. It's a pretty straight rock song with them. There were songs like Black Heart Woman. I had a lyrical idea I wanted to write about. I wanted to write the track about it. I had a very strong lyrical idea for the track. And then I sort of conveyed that to Meryl over the phone. And then about the next hour, she just sent me something over. And we had the sort of basic verse and pre-chorus for the song. And then a lot of the songs from this record, we got together with Will Mayer, the producer. And he became the sixth member of the band. And added a lot to the album in terms of his ideas and sort of rhythms, and he's a great guy, and I definitely pretty much can 100% confirm that we'll be working with Will for a third album.
And he's worked with The Answer as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been working with The Answer since they first started going. So, you know, and he's even on the last album, Soulless, he was doing parts on that record. He produced the Raise a Little Hell album, you know, the complete record, but he's had stuff to do with The Answer, apart from one of their records. But I think all of their six albums, he's done some, even their live album, produced that. So for us, I love The Answer, one of my favourite bands. So, you know, for us to work with their producer was great, and he's become a great mate. And, you know, when he's with us, he's the sixth member of Voodoo Vegas, like I said.
Yeah, it's awesome. One of the things that I really like about Voodoo Vegas is your ability to capture that special thing that you have in live performances. You do catch within your recorded work as well. I think I love that. I think that's brilliant.
I think that's Will. I think that's hard to do sometimes for bands. I don't think Jimmy Silver had that so much, the Jimmy Silver record, but I think this one was more straight. Yeah, definitely more straight. I think Jimmy Silver, I think when we worked with Pedro Ferreira, who'd done the first... Permission to Land, you know, the big famous Darkness album.
Yeah.
And he kind of wanted me to double track all the vocals, and there was a few things like that. And obviously we became more experienced with recording. It was our third recording, if you count the Hypnotize EP. So we were much more experienced with it, and we felt more comfortable with Will to give our input into it in terms of, you know, I'm always there when we're doing the vocals, it takes and edit. Obviously I'm there for the vocal, but the edits and all that, I'm always there as well. And we're all there, we're all very hands-on, which allowed that sort of organic live sound to sort of happen, I think.
And I guess with the amount of shows that you've played over the years as well, that gives you a comfortableness about being in the studio then as well, and just kind of going with the flow, I suppose.
Yeah. We went to Northern Madrid to record the album.
Nice.
At Will's studio, because he's Spanish. So, went to his, you know, it's a great opportunity to go abroad and record there. I think when we done Jimmy Silver, we went to Rockfield in South Wales to record. Mm-hmm. Obviously, big famous studio recorded there. That was great to go away and record that album. And the same with this album, to go, you know, leave the daily life and go away and just focus on recording an album. Like I said, with, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, we'll definitely be recording the same studio, same album, you know, same producer for the next record.
I guess as well, but kind of going away to a, I don't want to say a foreign studio as in abroad, but like just kind of away from home, if you like, and just locking yourself away into the studio and concentrating on writing. I mean, that must be just a tremendous focus then on the record. No distractions, no daily life.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, Will's really harsh on me for the lyrics. I would, you know, as the guys are recording drums or guitar takes, I'd be spent days up writing, you know, going, I've got this big book writing all my lyrics, and Will would come up in the evening and go, what's that mean? Why is that like that? And, you know, I'd explain each line to him, and sometimes he'd be so harsh. He goes, well, that doesn't make sense. You need to think of something better. And he was really, on all of us, he was like that, you know, like, that's not good enough. Mate, do it better, you know, which I think was a great... It's good, you know, it's good to be comfortable with him, but it's also good when he kicks your ass.
Well that's
done
it,
that.
Yeah.
He's done that,
I mean,
a lot.
Because you don't want
to... If
you've
just got a guy pressing record, you're not going to get good results. You know, there's no point in having a producer, you can just do it on your home computer.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no point in him just going, being a yes man, like, yes, that's great, mm-hmm. that's great, and then putting out a mediocre record. It's good to keep pushing and pushing, and, you know, that lyric is not good enough, that verse is not good enough, you can do better. That's, I guess, him being, like you say, like a sixth member, that's...
Yeah, it comes frustrating, but I think then you get the good performances, I think. For me, especially if you, you know, what kind of gets on your back about it, and then it makes you push and find something better. Some people that wouldn't work with, you know, everyone's different, but it worked well with me and the other guys as well, I think.
But I think that helps that you've worked with him before, and there's that friendship there as well, that he can say these things and you not take it too personally.
Well, especially now, yeah. I mean, I think even, I mean, he came down to the Winter's End Festival we were at a few weeks ago, and he was with us the whole weekend. That was more of a friends thing.
Yeah.
But then I know when we go into the studio with him, he's comfortable enough and he knows us enough, he can push us harder and make us, you know, if we send, we've already started sending him newer ideas, new songs, and, you know, he'll come back with feedback now and say, like, well, that's not good enough, you know, we won't even bother with that, or, you know, let's go for this. And, you know, I think that's a good position to be in with someone.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when I saw you for Winter's End for the first time, when Will was there just as your mate, was he critiquing your performance at all? Do that better.
No, well, it's weird. It is not, because we played the night before as well in Southampton.
And, oh, cool.
You know, more so than ever, I think, for me, I was definitely like, Will's here. I've got to sing good. I've got to perform good.
No, you know, pressure.
I think we were all like that. It made me quite nervous. And I don't get nervous as such. I get really psyched up to perform.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, Will's here. What's he going to... Because obviously he's had recorded. He hasn't seen us live as much or since, you know, for like about a year or so. So okay. I was definitely like, oh, Will's here. Let's do a good performance, guys. So, but it's good to have him there.
Yeah.
He was critiquing a bit. Yeah. So he called us up on some things we need to improve. And if you're not always trying to improve, you know, that's a bit big-headed, I think. So always trying to improve.
I think from a gig-goer's perspective, seeing you at Winter's End, it was an incredible show. I mean, you're a fantastic showman. You're like pure... Yeah. Rock and roll when you're on stage, and you just like invigorate that crowd. It's just it's amazing. I mean, how was it for you, that festival?
It was great. We were on so early at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just glad we played. I think I would have been, coming from Paul and the festival being in Paul, yeah, I would have been quite gutted to have not been playing the festival. And I'm so glad we got to play. I think it came across on stage. We got a lot of good compliments about the energy we had. So many people, so much energy.
Mm.
You guys look like you were so happy to be there. So we're all, you know, I think we're always happy to be on stage. But for me, I just go on stage and I feel that I spend ages warming up. And it's like a switch. It's weird. Like, I'm quite an outgoing person anyway. But then on stage, I kind of convey that and turn it up to 11, you know, the energy. You know, it's weird. Like, I grew up watching a lot of pro wrestling. Sounds funny, but like, the best wrestling characters were the ones that were themselves and turned themselves up. And
yeah.
I kind of feel like that's me in between the songs. I kind of, you know, I turn my outgoingness up to 11 as such, and try and convey that energy and get people, you know, just be honest, you know, I'm the real person I am, but trying to convey the energy, get the crowd involved, and, you know, none of this stupid, you hit a rock and create energy, but none of this, like, yeah, drinking and all that, and partying.
Yeah.
Not just me, you know. I'm sitting here talking to you guys, having a cup of coffee, you know.
Rock and roll, lads. Rock and roll.
I've got my cat sitting next to me. But, you know, but still, you know, I'd still convey that energy, you know, because I'm enjoying it. I feel the energy in it. Like, I remember at Winter's End, just before we went on stage, I could feel the... Because we were ready to go. We were supposed to go on at 12, but we were ready at about 10 to 12. So we were just like, let's just start. And we started. I could feel the energy flowing through me, and I just want to convey that energy and give it to the audience and get energy back from them and just create energy. And it's a great feeling to have. I love that. It's one of the best things about being in a band.
I think it definitely comes across on stage. And I think as well, you know, like with your audience, it's kind of people like an honest performance.
Yeah.
People don't like those things that are staged too much because it's cheesy, isn't it? So it's...
think that comes with playing for a while and learning. We played at Hard Rock Hell the other week and we played two sets. Played an acoustic set on the Saturday afternoon and we played Poison, which is from the album, from Creature Candy Floss. And, you know, that song was written about when we played over in Holland about a year ago. And silly me, I'm not a drinker. I don't really drink much and I'm not a drinker really at all. But the month before we played in Germany and we played with these bikers and they filled us full of Jack Daniels and it was great and I had no hangover. It was really, really good fun. So I said to John, I was like, well, if we're going to this festival in Holland, let's do it. Let's have a few drinks again, John. And I did, and I got so hungover. I drank far too much. And I was really ill. So I wrote the lyrics about that. You know, I was really, really ill. So I wrote the lyrics about that. And then while we're at Winter's End, I'm sort of, at Hard Rock Hell, I'm sort of telling this story on stage. And, you know, I'm just being honest. And then he played the next song, Lady Divine, which is about a cup of tea after a long tour we had. And then I realised that the two songs we've played are about drinks. And I'm like, all of our songs aren't about drinks. And people just, you know, and I just start going off, and as I'm doing now, like, just blabbing about, you know, drinking cups of tea and stuff. And it's, you know, I'm just honest about how it is. And, you know, I was like, I'm pulling the curtain back on rock music. We all really just drink tea and have biscuits.
You're ruining the illusion.
So, you know, user illusion, as they said. The illusion isn't really there. It's just being honest and creating energy and my enjoyment I try and get across to the audience. So, and that's what we all do in Voodoo Vegas, I think.
I think so. And that honesty then translates into the music, and then that opens it up then to be more universal and people can relate to that, and then the music and the lyrics resonate with people. And I think that's a great thing to have.
Yeah, and then you can also take a step away from it. Like Killing Joke from the album is about the Joker. So, you know, that's like, you can write stuff about real things, and you know, and you can write songs about the Joker. I just thought he was a great subject to write about. Mm. So I sort of wrote about him and the lyrics of that, and the video was a great, you know, I loved it. That video, it was great fun getting all made up by the Joker. That was great.
So have you got any gigs or festivals coming up?
We haven't got anything in the UK so much now, festival wise. We have just got our first ever gig in Estonia confirmed. We're going to play Ain Rock.
That's awesome.
In July, and then we're going to play headlining a festival in Germany called Let the Bad Times Roll towards the end of June, and then another one, Rock in Rothenburg, I think it is, in Germany, and a few others. Oh, we're playing Monmouth Festival, actually. Yep. Which should be good. That's the one UK festival. Hopefully we'll get some more, but, you know, as you guys have probably found out talking to a lot of bands, it's hard to crack the nut of the UK festival scene.
Yeah, it's different. I think the competition as well, isn't it? Like, yeah. Yeah, there's just so many bands out there that, you know, that are great as well now, that it's a struggle to get in.
I think as well, and I don't think a lot of bands realise, is that in the UK there's obviously the Winter's End and the Hard Rock Hells, and then there's the big rock festivals, you know, the Rambling Mountain, Downloads, etc. But there's no smaller, there's a few indoor ones, but there's not a lot of smaller outdoor event festivals that, yeah. That are available. If there is, it's like a Village Fete and you're playing on the back of a lorry, and then a band like us and the other bands at Winter's End wouldn't necessarily be suitable for a festival like that, because we've played them and you'll get people coming up to you and they're like, "Hey man, can you play Guns N' Roses?" And I'm like, "Guns N' Roses don't play any of our songs." So, but you know, we're playing. So they're not really suitable. But abroad, and what we've really thrived on and grown is that there are these 1,000, 2,000 capacity outdoor festivals, and they'll book a band like Voodoo Vegas, and we will go. You know, we went and played one in Germany in 2013 for the first time. We played this tiny stage. It was really small, really tight squeeze, went down great. The following year we were booked for the main stage. It's a big, huge, you know, about the size of a big, huge stage. It wouldn't be out of place at Download we're playing, and there's 1,000 people there, 2,000 people, but they let you grow. You can play that small stage and you get to play the main stage, and there's those opportunities abroad to play those sort of, they're not mainstream festivals, but they are rock festivals. People are there to hear rock music. They're not just here to hear a covers band. That, you know, that happens a lot more in the UK, and I think that's a shame that there's not more smaller sized open air festivals for bands to play through the summer. It's just the big ones which are very hard to get on, and we've really thrived on those foreign festivals that, you know, we've played all over the place. So this Estonia gig would be our 10th foreign country, non-UK country we've played in. It's mad to think that, really, that we've done that. I don't know if I could go back in time and tell myself that we're going to play in 10 foreign countries. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Happy with that.
Do you think that the reason that there are more of those kind of mid-range festivals abroad then is because rock music seems to be more kind of in the mainstream, whereas UK, it's there, but it's not fully in the public eye?
I think people are more open to, because it's not really mainstream over there. I just think it's more open-mindedness. I think, like I said, we've played these things, you know, these festivals, these smaller things in the UK, and you do get people come up to you and play, "Hey, can you play Paranoid?" You know, you wouldn't get that at all abroad. People just want to hear your music.
Yeah.
And they want to go to hear, you know, there's rock fans, and they'll go and see a rock festival. In the UK, there's not so much. There's just the rock. There's like the Winter's End and the Hard Rock Hells, and that's the rock fans go to that. But, you know, I live in Bournemouth. If there was a rock festival here, it wouldn't even happen, you know, in outdoors. There was Winter's End, I know, but I don't know what it is. It's just a UK thing. I can't sort of say what it is. It maybe the mainstream doesn't so much push rock, but then again, you know, we played Hard Rock Hell 2 weeks ago and there's 5,000 people there. So
I think that's they're doing a lot of these like residential rock things now, and I think they're really onto something with that. I think they're so popular and people are willing to pay to go to these things. I think maybe that's the way it's just going to carry on going forward.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think so, but I think it's also affecting the fact the club show sort of size, smaller shows, people are now just going to go to a Hard Rock Hell and spend, you know, however much it is for a ticket. They don't so much go to, it's good, I've noticed, and they're also a big drop off I've noticed recently, last 2 or 3 years, we'll play a show where there'll be, you know, 200-400 people there, even if it's our own gig or supporting someone, and we could sell £300-400 worth of merchandise now at gigs massively, which is, I think, is a big problem for bands, is people are using Spotify, and we'll have people going, hey man, I've run out of money, don't worry, I'll listen to it on Spotify. Whereas 2 or 3 years ago, we would have sold that CD to that person.
Yeah.
And Spotify, we had 8,000 plays for Tied Up, one of our singles re-release, and they only got us 35 pence. It's horrible to think that, and it cost us thousands. You know, if you think we went to Spain to record the track, paid, you know, hundreds to, you know, 500-600 quid for a video, you know, not that I'm whinging, but, you know, 2 or 3, 4 years ago, you'd play that show supporting someone or your own gig, and you would sell £200-400 worth of merch. So you do 2 or 3 of those shows, and you've made quite a good bit of money, which, not that I've never earned a penny from Voodoo Vegas, but we always put it back in. So now it's becoming harder because the money isn't coming in from merchandise, because more people are listening to the streaming music sites. It's become easier to do it than it was 2 or 3 years ago, but people weren't doing it so much.
Well, no, I think this the rise of the internet, isn't it? It's weird. I mean, you certainly don't come across as whinging. I think you're in the same boat as most bands that we speak to, where you know, it's essentially an expensive hobby, and you're doing it for the love of the music. And I think with some people, I think music is so just everywhere that I think some people just see it as a right to have. So you create songs, and that's it. It's mine now. You know,
I had an interesting thing last year. I went to see Jack Garrett. I've never heard of him, but no. I took my cousin to see him, right? And it was at the Bournemouth O2, so it was about 2,500 people there. And this dude, obviously what we're on now is a rock-based podcast, but this guy is massive. Adds like 10 million plays on his videos. He's sort of like a one-instrument guy playing drums and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And I'd never heard of him.
No.
But, you know, my cousin's 14, so he's at the show, and this Jack Garrett on stage goes, how many of you guys have got my album? And then people cheer. And then he goes, how many of you guys downloaded it for free or pirated it? And the whole place cheered. And he goes, I don't care about that. I'm just happy you listened to it. So that's great for him. But I was at the show. I didn't really like his music. But while I was waiting for my cousin to finish watching the show, I was getting the coats on the way out. I tweeted him and I said, you shouldn't be saying this on stage because there's kids there that will listen to you saying that. And they'll think it's okay to download music for free. And that's all right for you because you must have earned thousands from that show and the 2,500 people there.
Yeah.
But bands like us, and there's loads of us, I'm sure you spoke to them, who need every penny to help fund their band. That's robbing music. That's robbing any potential money from us. And he came back to me straight away, and, you know, and I had all his fans having a go at me because on Twitter and stuff. But, you know, obviously they don't know who I am, and I'm not anyone really. But, you know, they were having a go at me about it. But it was, you know, if there's people like that going out and saying to 14, 15-year-old kids it's all right to download music for free, that's not cool, really. It's a bit of a problem, I think. So I pulled him up on it, and he came back to me and said sorry. But, you know, I don't care. I'll just... I don't even know who he is, but he's quite famous, funny enough.
But no, it is a very flippant thing to say, isn't it? And it does affect the, you know, smaller bands or any other bands, really. And like you say, if it's influencing the next generation, it's just sending music and on a downward spiral in a way.
Well, it's devaluing.
It lessens the value. I found it very interesting how Metallica and Bon Jovi, two of arguably the biggest rock bands going, in last year released their albums around the same time as our album came out, and Metallica dropped every song on YouTube as a very expensive music video. And Bon Jovi done it weekly for every song from the album, released a new video, I mean, on YouTube. So that's quite interesting, you know. It's obviously this is they've done some research and found out something that maybe there's some, you know, they're making money from YouTube plays, obviously they do, but you know, I thought that was quite interesting how they done that, rather, you know, back in the day, you know, videos were a big deal, weren't they? Like, you know, it's a new video from such and such, but, you know, these big bands have been just dropping the whole album, boom, here it is on YouTube, and you can listen to the album with a very big budget video. It's an interesting thing to notice. I don't know, and I don't know why they've done it, obviously, because there's not music channels and people watch everything on their phones and YouTube nowadays.
Yeah, and like you say, you can monetize the videos, so the amount of plays they're getting probably is generating something, and it's better than just putting it out on CD, I guess, and just having people download it anyway, or going through Spotify where you're not making the money.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's a changing world in music. It's changed a lot since you guys got that first live album.
Yeah, it has. It's dramatic changes going on.
Yeah.
Don't like.
No, I don't like it.
So, it's no good for... It's hard for bands like us, and I'm sure you guys talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the answer is. Just keep working hard and putting out content, I guess. And meeting nice people like you.
Aww. Thank you.
Bless him.
So what's your direction going forward? Because you've got a new drummer in your band. You've got Mike now.
Yep.
What's your direction going forward? What are the plans for Voodoo Vegas?
Well, in the next month or so, we've already got the video made, but we're going to release a new single from the album Sleeping in the Rain. And that's a song I wrote. It really weirdly came to me in a dream, which is weird. But I wrote it with Meryl, and the lyrics I wrote about homelessness, because I think homelessness really sucks. It's horrendous. I mean, in Bournemouth, there's so many homeless people. I'm always trying to help them out, and it shouldn't be happening. So I wrote this song about homelessness, and we're going to release it and try and raise money for Crisis, the homeless charity.
Oh, cool.
So that will be coming out very soon. I've just got to get it, because we've got some PR going on in Germany and UK, so I want to have it all come out all at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to wait on the UK date for the release. But so that'll be coming out really soon. And I think in the video we've got is a lyric video, but it's a bit different. We've got a DC Comics comic book artist called Jamie Johnson. I can't remember his name, but he's drawn this homeless chap, and through the video he changes, so it's quiet and people are walking past him, and obviously the song's a bit of a gut punch as well, so you know, hopefully it will, you know, raise awareness of it and raise some money, and people will can help out some homeless people, so that'd be good. You know, that's coming out pretty soon, so yeah, keep a lookout for that. And then obviously we're going to be gigging as much as we can coming up in May, June, July, all over the place, working really hard.
Are you going to go on to your next album then?
Yeah, I want to start recording it by the end of, start of next year really. That's the plan. I'll start pre-production later after the summer.
Have you started writing now? Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, well, you know, he said about Mike, he brought a great idea to rehearsal the other night. So that's another angle that we didn't have previously. Mike is very accomplished musician, not just on the drums, on the guitar. He can do backing vocals. This is all stuff we're working on, because we've never really had great harmonies, or which I would love to bring into the band as a live thing as well. So we've been working on that with Mike. I think it's going to be really improve the live show even more. So I'm quite excited to get back out playing.
I think that sounds incredible. So, you know, I encourage people to go check you guys out. Both, you know, download your music, pay for it. Legally download it. And go and check you at one of your live shows, because you're an incredible band. So from the moment I first heard you, I became a fan. I love your stuff. I can't wait to see what comes out next.
So where did you see us in 2009 then?
I didn't see you. It was literally, I chatted with you on Twitter, and then you said, give us your address and we'll send you one of our CDs out.
That's good.
It was, yeah, right back from then. So it was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Good back stuff. In the day.
But olden days.
Yeah, right. That's the horrible thing. That's 8 years ago then. It's 2007 now.
I know.
Wow.
Still a cracking CD. I love it.
Oh, I'm surprised it still works.
No, it's all good. But so people can check you out on Facebook at VV Rocks, on Twitter at Voodoo Vegas, and your website is voodoovegas.com.
And voodoovegas.de if you're in Germany.
There we go. Awesome. So yeah, no, that's great. But thank you so much for talking to us, and we really look forward to catching you at a gig again soon.
Yes.
Cheers, guys. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, and you know, guys like you are great help for bands like us, so very much appreciated, and keep up all your hard work.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Cheers,
music.
Guys.
If you keep making great music, then it'll be easy job to do, mate.
We'll try.
No pressure.
Thank you for your kind words.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
Gig news.
Yes.
Sunday the 9th of April, our good friend and yours, Magdi, from Cairo Sun, he's doing an acoustic set supporting Peter Von Toy at the Dev in Camden, and it's free entry.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with free entry gigs.
Well, if you're a band, you can, because you're not getting paid.
Yeah, but then those people are rocking up with more money in their pocket to spend on merch.
Well, absolutely. Peter Von Toy doesn't have merch. Well, he might have merch, but he doesn't have CDs.
Oh.
I was reading up about him.
Yeah.
He's been going for about 18 months or so. I never heard of him. I only checked him out because of Magdi and, you know, got invited to this gig. By all accounts, he's like a bluesy singer-songwritery guy. Doesn't have any recorded material whatsoever. He is literally surviving on word of mouth and going from show to show. He's played, I think, over 150 shows. I think he's played in various countries. This guy is just like all about live performance.
Oh my god. That's interesting. I've not heard of him.
No, I've only literally glanced at a little bit of information. I'm not like an encyclopedia on this guy, and I will go and check more of his kind of history out. Obviously, I'm not going to check any of the stuff out because he hasn't got it, so I'm going to have to go and see him. But yeah, it's almost old school in a way, like proper old school. Like, yeah, just survives on word of mouth.
already, like, I don't know who he is. I don't even know what type of music it is. But because of the fact I can't go listen to recordings, it has that mysticism about it.
That's what it
is. And that makes me want to go, oh, what's going on in there?
But also as well, you're right, it does have that mysticism in it. And it gives it back. Remember like when, obviously you don't remember because you weren't born, but nor was I. Led Zeppelin. They used to just release albums. They never released singles because they didn't want to take singles off. And then no one ever spoke to the band. They never really did interviews, up to a certain point anyway. And there was this very, with their music they were creating, there's a very mystical kind of essence about the band. And that's what I get from this guy. You can't go out and make a judgment on him and go, oh, well, he sounds like this, he sounds like that. You have to go and see him live. So not many people are going to go and see him live. Mm-hmm. So a small group that do, that's a very exclusive thing. And then you kind of spread that word of mouth to other people. Like I said, I've literally just heard of him now because Magdy sent me over a gig invite. The little bit I've read, I've told you, and now you've gone, I really want to see him live.
Mm.
Yeah, can't tell you what his music's like because I've never seen him live.
See how well marketing and advertising works on me.
Yeah. Go to this. Okay.
Buy this. I need that. Apparently.
Shit, you don't need.com. So yeah, go and check out Magdy. You know, Kyra's done a great, Magdy's great. I say, supporting Peter Von Toy. Go and check out this guy because apparently, he's really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, what a really random way of doing
this
things.
Got
though.
Me thinking now.
Of what?
What's going on? Who is he?
I don't know. Well, we can't check him out because he ain't got anything in there.
The fact that Magdy's supporting him also makes me think I want to go see him. Because Magdy's got a good taste in music.
Yeah, he has. Very intriguing, isn't it?
It's intriguing.
It's very intriguing.
I hate not knowing stuff.
No, because like normally we'd be like, oh, let's just check out a video or check out whatever.
Yeah, gotta go.
But then he's doing free gigs. Mm. Get him in and then he charges you the next time. He's a genius.
Shall I tell you about another gig?
Yes, you shall.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to anyway.
That could have been awkward.
Southern Californian band Mount Holly. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
They're a cracking band. They, a couple of them came over last year on a promo tour in the UK and they did a couple of dates going around. I think it was like acoustic based type thing just to promote themselves. But they are coming back full band now for headline gigs.
And everybody knows you should always go full band.
Full band, obviously. So yeah, they've got these couple of gigs on the go. They've got one in Mansfield, which is sold out now. But you can still get tickets for the gig that they're playing in London at the Water Rats on the 13th of April. So anybody who'd like to go along and see a cracking rock band for that night, get your tickets now. You can find them on Facebook at Mount Holly Band. So check them out and get yourselves to that gig at the Water Rats.
That's Nick Perry's band, yeah?
Yes, that is correct.
Because he was in Shinedown for a little bit, I understand.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
Great guitarist.
Yeah, that sounds like it should be a cool gig.
It should be. So yeah, go get your tickets. Check them out on Facebook. Follow the links.
And that's kind of it, really, in terms of goings-on in music news and whatnot. I mean, have you got anything else we can talk about musically or anything?
Not about music, but apparently I'm happy to talk about anything else.
Okay. What apparently. Do you, apparently. What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, you dick. Apparently I'm happy to talk about anything else. Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
It doesn't mean I have things. That I want to talk about, it just means apparently I'm happy.
Well, I'm losing my voice, so I'm apparently happy not to talk about anything
all
else.
Right. See you later.
You dick. So apparently we got social media accounts. Apparently you can catch us at DTF Pod on apparently Facebook, apparently Twitter, and apparently Instagram. You can catch us on YouTube at Down the Front. Actually, go to our Down the Front YouTube page because we've got all those cool videos of the Sound Control gig with Voodoo Blood and Twisted Illusion. Check it out. They are awesome. If you like gig reviews and album reviews, you can catch us at The Gig Gals. There is also a review of that gig that we've written. That's on Facebook and Twitter. Not on Instagram because there's only so many accounts we can control. God damn it. And all of this is under one stop shop, AuroboruspR.com. We have a Spotify playlist, which will be updated with the bands that we've mentioned today. And you can catch our archives down the front on there. Band Shirt Friday is on there. Please do tag your band shirts to the Gig Gals, at the Gig Gals. Hashtag Band Shirt Friday. We're making a big collage poster. We've got more people that we didn't have before do it last week. Hopefully we'll get more this week. And hopefully off the back of this episode now, you'll tag in your own picture and send it to at the Gig Gals. So that'd be great if you could do that.
Mm.
Yeah. And if you're on iTunes and you want to rate Behind the Barricade 5 stars, tell them Down the Front sent you. Because, you know, don't give them the credit. Give us the credit. We're doing all this work.
Apparently, I've got some news.
Oh, apparently, you're about 2 minutes too late. What's the news, apparently?
Tickets for Rockstock 2017 have gone on sale.
How did we not mention that in the main bit? Was there any news this week? Nah, it's a bit slow. We went and bought fucking tickets as well.
Can I just say... this needs to be unedited and left in so people realise what dicks we are. David's crying now.
Oh my god.
But yeah, tickets went on sale for Rockstock at Treco Bay in Wales, which will be on the 1st, 2nd and 3rd of December this year. Be quiet now.
Sorry.
They have three standards of ticket, bronze, silver and gold. If you sign yourself up for the gold accommodation, you will also get a ticket to take you in there for the Thursday night for an extra evening's entertainment.
Which is what I did last year, and it was awesome balls, because I got to see Tax the Heat, Broken Wit Rebels, Lazuli and Mojo Sinners. And whilst it was awesome balls, it was not nearly as awesome balls as the Friday, Saturday and Sunday that I got to spend with you. Taking selfies and dicking around. And interviewing Idlewar for episode 1. Awesome. Remember when we interviewed Idlewar?
I remember.
Oh, I remember. Oh, they were fantastic.
So yeah, Rockstock.
Looking forward to it. I really loved Rockstock last year. Yeah. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this year as well. Did we get gold?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We're going gold.
Gold. What are the songs that got gold in it? I can't remember. Probably loads.
Probably.
Remember Going for Gold?
Yes.
What a shit programme that was. With that yes. Irish host. Was it Henry Kelly?
Henry Kelly.
State of him. He had Lego hair.
Lego hair and eyebrows.
I don't remember his
that
eyebrows.
Were the wrong
I
colour.
Remember his voice. Oh. He was very Irish.
Hmm.
I won't do an impression because I'll have to cut it out. But yes.
So yeah, buy Rockstock tickets.
Yeah, come and say hello to us. Unless we don't like you, in which case, leave us alone. Are you David from down the front? Maybe. Who are you? I am a stalker. Then no, he just went that way.
Like you're gonna get stalked.
Yeah, I know. Hi, are you that guy from that podcast? Oh, yeah, actually I am. And then they'll mention a different podcast and it will not be me. And I'll be like, no. You're on that booth over there.
Booth?
I don't know, apparently we're doing a signing.
Apparently!
Apparently we're doing a signing.
That was a natural, apparently.
That was a natural, apparently. Does that count towards the apparently?
No.
Okay.
Apparently.
So, apparently. Dickhead.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, please hashtag apparently.
Hashtag apparently I enjoyed this episode. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, then you are clearly as fucked up in the head as we are. So.
Yeah, hashtag apparently I enjoyed this episode.
Apparently. Want to give a shout out to all our lovely supporters out there. Hashtag Wrinkled Ronnie from Those Damn Crows.
Hashtag Mr. Moet and above.
Mr. James Wilson, another big supporter of ours.
Mr. Apparently Adam... Apparently parking.
What? Adam parking? Are you Porky Pig all of a sudden? Adam parking. Good old Adam parking. We've descended into madness.
I think it's time we wrap this up.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently it's time to go. Apparently. So thank you all for listening. If you've made it this far, you're troopers and deserve medals. And hashtag I deserve a medal, apparently. We will see you next week for more apparently great craziness and great apparently interviews.
Apparently.
Apparently. We're going to play you out now with Voodoo Vegas, Walk Away, apparently.
Which is what we're going to do now. Microphone drop. See you later.
See you later, apparently.
Control. If you're
Doesn't matter because I'm going to edit so I get the last word.
Apparently. Shh, don't raise my smile.
Apparently.
Apparently.
But you remember.
Apparently. Remember.
But remember, I'll have the master file and I can just record as many apparently, apparently as I want.
Apparently. Apparently.
Apparently.